Our Father, thank you for the time that we have had to just reflect upon your glory, to worship and adore you, and also to reflect upon your awesome love for us, how deep your love is for us, more than we can ever describe. We thank you for how we can break bread and remember the great love of yourself in giving Jesus, and the great love of Jesus in giving up his life for his friends, even us. We thank you for the time we could have listening to Anthony share about Gideon's, and it is so exciting to know that despite the dark days we live in spiritually, that still the gospel is going out. We know that's part of your amazing heart, your heart of incredible patience toward a world so in rebellion to you, that you would still continue to allow people the opportunity to hear of the hope of the gospel. And we pray, Lord, that we'd be part of that great work, supporting Gideon, supporting ministry that our own church does, and even in our own lives, sharing Jesus with those about us. Help us to have courage and boldness more than ever in the days that we live. And we just thank you now for the word, your great, wonderful word, inspired of your Spirit, that is so necessary for us to have and read and know. And we pray that you would have your blessing upon us as we open the scriptures and look at this passage, that you would help us to understand and to hear you speaking to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to begin this morning by asking you if you remember what happened on Monday, the 22nd of March, 2010. Do you remember that day? I sure do. It was when Perth was hit by something. The hailstorm, that's right. That massive hailstorm that most of us have never seen in our life before. Now, the reason why I remember it and Colleen remembers it is because that was the day that we were celebrating our wedding anniversary. And we were over at Rotto. And I remember it being a fantastic morning. We were snorkeling, looking at all the beautiful things beneath the water. And then by around about early afternoon, we noticed the storm clouds were gathering to the north. So where we were at Rotto, to the north, you could see some pretty dark clouds developing. So anyway, some of those clouds drifted over to Rotto. And Colin and I looked at each other and we thought, you know what? We should head home. So we did. We changed the ferry that we're going to go on. We went on the one that is called the Wave Jumper. It's a small ferry with big engines, open deck, probably only about 30 or 40 people on there. And we got on that boat. And then sure enough, what would happen next? Our captain has to talk to us about the safety. All right. And I remember he was standing with his back to the gathering storm. And I'm thinking, hurry up. Look behind you. It's coming. So anyway, he finally finished his address, and then he must have got a bit of a shock to then be on the wheel and seeing the storm. And the next part of our journey, I must say, was like surfing. It was surfing a storm front. We were just ahead of the storm all the way until we were in the safety of the Frio Harbour. And what is it like to see a storm front right there, right before you? It is amazing and scary as. Behind the storm front is just absolutely black. But in the storm front, there is like you get from an intense fire, those billows of smoke. The clouds are just absolutely moving quickly. And as they move quickly, they are creating so much energy. They are creating so much lightning. We had lightning bolts just firing off everywhere, hitting the water right where we were, exploding the water. Can you imagine that? Incredible. I'm thinking we're going to get hit, and that's it. We're in a metal boat. But we didn't get hit. And the thunderclaps were so deafening and so loud, your whole body shook even deep within. What an experience it was. So I don't know if you know that we've had a few interesting scenarios on the water. I'm not telling you this story so that you never go on the water with Ian and Colleen, because things happen. It seems to happen to us. But the reason why I'm telling you this story is because as I think about that storm front, the words that come to my mind is that it was so intense. There was a rage and a fury about that storm. And in my mind, that is such a picture of other things that I'm aware of. There's a rage and a fury when it comes to some really big things in life. There is a rage and a fury when it comes to the way non-Christians are treating Christians at the moment, especially in regard to the same-sex marriage. there will be a rage and a fury, an intense storm created by the Antichrist against Christians before the coming of Jesus. But there's another one that we often forget. One that the world mocks and ridicules. One that many, many Christians are now playing down and dismissing. And it's the rage and the fury of none other than God himself. I hardly hear these sort of things anymore. But our Bible tells us that our God has a rage and a fury against us humans whom he has created because of our continuing in sin and stubbornness to rebel, to repent, that we continue to rebel against him and reject him. And a storm, clouds are gathering. The wrath of God is growing and growing against the way we are behaving as humans. I don't know if you've noticed that in our series in the book of Romans, passages have already been seen. We've seen these in regard to describing what is happening. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says there, Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Do you hear what it says there? The wrath of God. It mentions that. In Romans chapter 2, verse 5, "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." In verse 8, "But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation." Now that's pretty heavy, these things, but the Bible makes no mistake about how, because of our rejection and our rebellion against God, God's wrath is growing. There's going to be a rage and a fury that comes upon us that's developing, that's growing because of humans and the way that we behave. So we live in a day and age where many non-Christians will absolutely mock that. But as I've mentioned before, there are many Christians who also play down this. They water it down, believing that God is only a God of love. But when I comprehend these things, when I comprehend God's anger towards our sin, when I comprehend these things, it makes me so much more appreciate the gospel. And friends, you will never appreciate the gospel if you don't appreciate what we deserve because of our rebellion. The gospel is absolutely glorious. It is beyond comprehension that this same God, who in his justice and righteousness deserves to punish us, has also chosen to make a way of escape, to make a way that we can be rescued from what should come upon you and me, not just upon our world, but upon us, because we ourselves have sinned against God. Praise God that he has given us the gospel. Praise God that he has made a way for us to escape the coming wrath. And of course, that coming wrath culminates in people being sent to that place called hell. The Bible speaks of a place of eternal torment, a place which is also called the lake of fire. In Paul's address, the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, we have seen the wrath of God, we have seen the gospel. And I love that section which we considered a little while ago in Romans chapter 3. We read these wonderful words there. Romans chapter 3, 23 and the first part of 25. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith." And this is a most important passage that Paul gets to help us realize that though God's wrath, though God's rage and fury is upon us because of our sin, God has been pleased to grant to us as a gift this thing of being right with him, this thing of being justified as if I've never sinned. And it comes through faith, faith alone, faith in Jesus Christ. And why is God able to do this? Because of what he's done for us through his Son, That old word in my translation, propitiation, is such an important word. The word propitiation in the context of Jesus means that Jesus has averted the wrath of God from me and has taken upon himself that wrath that I should have borne. What a picture it is. He has pushed me aside and taken the full force of the judgment that was against me so that I might be rescued from what I should have. Isn't that incredible? This is what Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah to our great Savior who has done these things for us. And like it says here, the emphasis is for us to be able to be rescued from what is coming, to be rescued from the judgment to come. All I need to do is believe in Jesus. All I need to do is believe in Jesus being God's Son and accepting Him as my Lord and Savior, repenting of my sins and receiving Jesus. I want to ask you, have you done that? Do you know that very time? It doesn't just happen when you're born. It happens at a special time when God speaks to you about your sin and your need for Jesus and you open your heart to Jesus. Do you remember that time? Do you have a time when you called upon the Lord Jesus to save you? Because if you haven't, then you're not in a good state. God's wrath will be upon you. So friends, this morning as we move on in Romans, we're going to move on in Romans into chapter 5. And what I want us to see in Romans chapter 5 is some amazing things. Not only do we stand justified before God through faith in Jesus, but there's so many other blessings that come upon us when we have faith in Jesus. And Romans chapter 5 speaks about that. We're going to be looking at the blessings of our faith in Christ as well as the basis for our salvation in Christ. So let's have a look at the blessings. First of all, I want to help you realize that our great God and Father, He's such a generous and gracious God, is He not? He's an amazing God. And you know, that's why we don't just find out in our Bible that if we have faith in Jesus, we just stand justified. There's a whole lot of other things that we're blessed with. I'm reminded of the words in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, which says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ." Well, let's have a look in Romans chapter 5 at some of the other blessings that we have besides being right, having right standing with God. So let's read Romans chapter 5 verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Wow, here is a fantastic blessing, having peace with God. I wonder if you are so delighted in that. If you're in Jesus, you have peace with God. You once were an object of His wrath and displeasure because of your sin and rebellion, because of how you had rejected Jesus. But ever since you came to trust in Jesus, you are now the object of His love. And you have peace with God. And I cannot say enough how amazing and how wonderful it is to be at peace with God. It is the very best thing indeed. And it's not just a peace that we have when we're just obeying God. For Christians, we still fail God. We still sin. And how wonderful to know that this peace we have with God is something that is forever. It's not dependent upon our track record. We now have peace with God forever. We have peace. Another word that goes with the word peace and found in Romans chapter 5 is in regard to relationship. The word used is that we are reconciled to God. Let's have a look at the last part of this passage we're looking at this morning in Romans 5, 10 and 11. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." I want you to understand that this word peace and the word reconciliation, they go together. It's the same thing. When we declare that we have peace with God, it means that we have been reconciled to God. We are now in God's good books. He looks at us with delight. We have good relationship with God now. There's no rage and fury against us anymore. Praise God. It's amazing. When I think about these things, I just cannot get it out of my head that once I was an enemy of God, but now I've become his friend. No, more than that. Not only a friend, but a dearly beloved child of God. We have such an amazing relationship with God, all because of what Jesus has done for us in obedience to his Father. The worst thing of all is actually to be in God's bad books. For he is awesome and has frightening power. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "Don't fear man that can kill the body, but fear God who can cast body and soul into hell." Later on in Romans chapter 11, in verse 22, it says there, "Behold the kindness and the severity of God." Severity to those who remain unrepentant. We ought to fear the living God. We ought to understand that we're in trouble unless we find safety, unless we find this great rescue that's in the gospel. But when we do, we will experience the severity of God. No longer will we experience the wrath of God. We will experience his peace. And we are brought into right relationship with God. This thing about having peace with God, I would have to say to you, it's the greatest of all states. Far greater than what the Eastern religions seek for through meditation. Far greater than what the Western world seek for through politics and other stuff. You know, world peace, through power and control. This peace that we have through faith in Jesus is the greatest state of all. This peace brings joy into our life. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that goes beyond all circumstances. It's an amazing thing to be at peace with God. It's the greatest thing of all. But you know, there's more in Romans chapter 5. Not only do we have peace with God and reconciliation, let me read verses 2 to 5 of Romans chapter 5. "Through whom," that's Jesus, "also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." You notice something else that's being mentioned in that passage? What's the word that was repeated a few times? Not only do we have peace with God, but we also have hope. Isn't hope a wonderful thing? Hope's a wonderful thing. We live in a world where most people have no hope anymore. But not the Christian. Here's another great blessing that comes upon the Christian. If we have faith in Jesus, not only are we justified before God, not only do we have peace with God, but we are filled with hope. And we know in the Bible that this hope is a sure and certain hope. It's not a hope so, it's a real so. Praise God for that. What a hope it is. You know, as I live as a Christian, I have the certain hope. What a glorious hope this is, that God will never leave me. That God will always be there to sustain me and help me and pick me up when I fall. What a hope! We have a hope right now, here on earth, that God will be true to all his promises. What a hope! But of course, there's another hope to come. We haven't even tasted of that. We've only just had a drop from the bucket so far. There is the hope to come, the glory to be with God, to walk the streets of gold, to be with God and see his face, to be with the Son who died for us, to be in paradise forever and ever. What a hope. With new bodies, with no more death, no more suffering, no more sin. What a hope we have. A glorious hope. And this is another great blessing we have when we have faith in Jesus. Not only do we have peace with God, but we have a most amazing hope. a hope that should lift us up from our pits that we're in, this hope. I think of our hope like the aerodynamics of a plane. Aerodynamics gives lift to a plane. And we have something that can lift our soul from all the circumstances of life. And it's our hope in Christ. It should give us lift. This hope is so wonderful that it bears us through tribulation. It helps tribulation bring about perseverance, as it says in verse 4, and even character, Christian character. But the ultimate thing is that we will one day enjoy this wonderful hope. In Christ, we're not just forgiven. We're not just saved from hell. We're saved to enjoy and experience all God's blessings, being right with Him, being at peace with Him, and having His hope in our heart. What more could I ever want? What an amazing God. But now I want to look at that second half of Romans chapter 5. What is the basis of our salvation in Christ? What is the basis of all God's blessings in Christ? There's only one answer. It is the love of God. Up to this point in the book of Romans, Paul has not even mentioned the love of God. You can look it for yourself. There's no mention of the love of God. He's left it till now. He's explained to us Jesus. He's explained to us the gospel. He's explained to us the need to believe in Jesus to escape the wrath to come. But he hasn't told us what was behind it all. What was behind God sending his son? What was behind God giving hope for us in the gospel? What was behind God giving us all these blessings in Christ? What's the answer? He waits until now. It is none other than this most amazing thing. It is the love of God. God's amazing love has been the reason for all these things that have come to us through Jesus. What a passage this is. In Romans chapter 5, 6 to 8. It's so powerful and so profound. Let's read it. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You probably have heard those words many times over. What a passage it is. A passage that tells us of something that is unheard of, never seen except in God, an amazing love for us, an amazing love that has brought about the gospel and our salvation in Christ. Look at what it's saying. God's love to us. Look what it says. We were still helpless when God saved us, when he loved us. We were helpless. What do we mean by being helpless? We were helplessly lost. We were far from God, having no idea of the danger that was coming upon us, of judgment, of being cast into hell, absolutely helpless, not seeing, not understanding. Not only that, we were still ungodly. We were still committing gross sins and iniquities, opposing our Creator. And we were still sinners, transgressing God's laws and loathing His righteous commands. It also says, later on in this passage, that we were enemies of God. That is to say, we were in the same camp as the devil and his demons. That's how we were to God. And what's so amazing is that this amazing God has looked at us helpless, ungodly, sinful, and people who are enemies to him, and he has loved us. How can this be? How can this be? This is what this passage is saying. This is remarkable. This is never seen before. And it's God himself who has shown this incredible love for us. Why has God done all these incredible things for us? Let's make it really clear. Not because we deserved it. Not because he had to. He didn't have to do anything. But because he chose to love us. I want to think right now about two great pictures of love. Well, two great acts of love. The first one is Christ's love. I'm very conscious. It's not just the Father, but Christ's love as well. It's says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 that he loves us and he released us from our sins by his blood. Paul picks up on this great love of Jesus. He loved us and gave himself for us. It talks about his love. What a love. What leader dies for his subjects? What master dies for his slave? What president dies for his bodyguard? But Jesus died for me. He died for an enemy, even me. What about God's love? What parent gives up his child for a neighbor? What parent forfeits his own child's life to help an enemy? But God gave up his own son to save you and I. This is incredible love. Let me read these verses to you again. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God for his incredible love for you and I. In fact, you've got to apply this verse personally. Let me read it to you with a personal emphasis. For while you were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for you, the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward you in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. I remember the time in my own life when it finally dawned on me that this great God loved me and loved me despite my ungodliness and my sinfulness and how I had become an enemy of his, that he loved me. And I know what that love did for me. It totally broke me. When I comprehended how much God loved me, it broke me. No longer could I push God away anymore, but I had to humble myself and receive his son instead of constantly pushing God away. To comprehend this incredible God, to understand how he loves me, is just so life-changing. What an incredible God. You know, in English, in our English language, really when it comes to God's love, we just find it so hard to describe. I know the Bible speaks of God's love being higher than the highest heavens. And it is. It's more than that. Who can comprehend his love? It's an amazing love. It's a love that is just unheard of in our world. This is a great love. What a God. And you know, just looking at this passage too, I want to highlight to you how God's love really makes our hope sure. Go back to Romans chapter 5 verse 5. It says, and hope does not disappoint because of what reason? Because the love of God or God's love for us has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Do you understand what God's love for us does? It makes certain our hope. We know that we will truly be saved and be in glory one day because of his love. He loves us with such a strong love. He loves us unconditionally. Nothing can break his love. That's why we can be so sure of our hope. Isn't that wonderful? And not only about our hope, but also it says in verses 9 and 10 about how sure we can be about our salvation. All because of God's love. Let me read to you verses 9 and 10. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Do you understand what it's saying? If God has loved us and saved us through his son when we were his enemy, how much more we shall be saved now that we've been made right, because his love for us is so strong. He will never let us go. Later on in Romans chapter 8, we'll read about that. We'll leave it till that, till we get to that, because it also makes again that strong emphasis upon how strong God's love is for us. I remember in the Christianity Explored course, I came across this phrase that was mentioned. which caused me to be so broken and to weep with tears as I comprehended how beautiful it is and how true it is to God's word. And it goes like this. We are more sinful than we could ever realize, but we are more loved than we could ever dream. Wow, that's exactly it. I am more sinful than I actually know, but I am more loved than I could ever dream, more than I could ever imagine. I am loved so much more than that. Praise be to God. Well, I just want to finish now by saying to you, those of you amongst us who aren't Christians yet, as I think about this, as I think about how I once wasn't a Christian either, you need to ask yourself, why on earth are you not a Christian? Why on earth do you push against the God who loves you? The God who gave his son to save you from the wrath to come. You need to ask yourself that. Why am I holding out? Why are you pushing God away? Break that push. Humble yourself and call on Jesus to save you even today. And if you are a Christian, I have a challenge for you and myself. Why are we so lacking in praise to God? Why are we so minimal in exalting God in regard to who he is and his amazing love for us? We should be all fired up. We should be so fired up about God's love for me, for you. We should be singing every day, not just on a Sunday morning. We should be so full of thanks. Let me read to you what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 11. Not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Do you pick up what Paul is saying here? We exult. We cannot help but lift up the name of our God and worship him forever. Because of why? Because he's the God who has so loved me. He's the God who sent his son to save me. It should be our song every day to sing praise to God because of his great love for us. Well, we're going to sing now a song, a hymn that is entitled The Love of God. Our Father, it is our joy and delight to express to you our absolute thanks for how much you have loved us. To think that we have not deserved any of this, to think that we have been your enemies, and yet you have chosen to love us. We are so thankful for your great love for the human race in giving us Jesus, and your great love in allowing us to be saved through faith in him, and to be brought into your kingdom, and to become beloved children of yours. We thank you that that love is so strong. It is so true and sure. We thank you that as a Christian, a follower of Jesus, you will love us for all eternity. Nothing will let us go. You will not let us go. I pray, Father, for all of us that we would really allow your love to touch us, that your love would melt us, and that your love would cause us to be worshippers of you, and also people who are so keen to spread the gospel message to people around us. If we're not there yet, please would you help our stubborn hearts, Lord, our hearts that are so silly, that you would help us to surrender to you and to allow Jesus to be our Lord and Saviour. Please would we truly give our life to you because you love us. And Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the things of this service. Please would you continue to minister to us as we go also to have hospitality, as we share a meal together. And thank you for how good you are, and thank you for all the blessings that we have in Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.